This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. There are tears and determination in Hawaii after deadly wildfires kill at least 80. Nearly 1,000 people are still missing, and survivors want to know why warning sirens didn't go off. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
The relief effort is ramping up, with airlines, the Coast Guard, and volunteers all stepping in. Officials say the recovery effort will take many years.
This is going to go down in history as one of the worst disasters ever in Hawaii.
And we're being told that cadaver dogs will also assist in the search.
Other parts of the nation are suffering as well from dangerous heat. Arizona is under a state of emergency. KPHO-TV reporter Dennis Welch.
Frees up more money. So what is that money going to be used for? Well, that money could be used for costs that have been incurred during this time. You look here in Maricopa County, a lot of the cooling centers that are out there, those things, they're closing at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And we know that during the middle of the heat wave, the peak of all this, we know that that was still a time that was very hot. We saw very high temperatures at that time.
There's a special counsel now in the investigation into Hunter Biden. CBS's Catherine Herridge explains.
Attorney General Merrick Garland said David Weiss himself asked for special counsel status after leading the criminal probe into the president's son since 2018.
The appointment of Mr. Weiss reinforces for the American people the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters.
There's a recall that might affect those with weakened immune systems. CBS's Chanel Call.
The FDA announced a voluntary recall of a brand of 1-pound packages of organic green kiwi fruit because they have the potential to be contaminated with listeria. The recalled kiwi is grown in New Zealand, exported to North America, and repacked locally for sale under the Zespri brand.
In suburban Pittsburgh, a house explodes, setting other dwellings on fire. KDKA's Krista Rose.
We have been getting reports that there are potentially people trapped inside some of these houses. We know one house has exploded. We don't know if there are any injuries, but obviously crews are here and they are working frantically.
It's World Elephant Day. Sean Heinzman is with Adventures with Elephants in South Africa.
They are a keystone species. If you're protecting elephants, you're protecting everything else underneath them. And I think that's the joy of World Elephant Day, is we are trying to just spread the message that elephants need a place on this planet.
He says a herd of the majestic creatures got to hang out with visitors at the reserve on this special day. We all want wildlife in our future, he says. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Military veterans. Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Many of the most recent crimes former President Donald Trump is accused of committing allegedly happened in Wisconsin or with the help of people from here. New Mexico is another battleground state caught up in the alleged fake elector scheme. Roz Brown reports.
New Mexico is one of seven battleground states where former President Donald Trump and his Republican allies are accused of trying to persuade state officials to illegally swing the last election in his favor. David Becker with the Center for Election Innovation and Research says as the next contest approaches, election workers still face fallout from 3 years ago.
They are still suffering. They are still being harassed. They are still being attacked. That's the state we're in now, in early August, 15 months before a presidential election.
New Mexico's five fake electors have yet to be charged with any crimes related to their interference. The indictment appears to suggest that the effort in New Mexico was not as involved as those in other states, such as Arizona, Georgia, or Wisconsin, where electors were asked to sign certificates, falsely stating that Trump, not Democrat Joe Biden, had won their states. Becker knows Americans are eager for an outcome in the court cases stemming from 2020, but hopes both Republicans and Democrats will eventually be on the same page.
That we as Americans can say, regardless of who engaged in these activities, if they are proven to be true beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law, if those are true, can't we all as Americans agree that this has gone too far, that this should never happen again?
Becker, whose organization provides pro bono legal counsel to election officials, says he's already gotten requests from nearly half the states this year. This is Roz Brown, Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates.
Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Earlier this week, we had a quiz on college rallying cries. So, Jane, when I say OH, what do you say?
IO.
Bah, she got it. And I will never say that again because all of my Ohio State Buckeye fans, it is so obnoxious when they do that. But today...
Did you know they tried to...
We celebrate Ohio and what they did last night. Go ahead, Greg.
They tried to trademark the word the.
Did they really?
So like, of course they did. The Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
Sorry.
But yes, indeed. OHIO, their vote yesterday, kept the door open to codify abortion protections for them this fall and protect their own direct democracy. And so a big hats off to our Midwest... comrades in Ohio. And so if you've not been following this story, it's an interesting one. And my question to you, regardless, I guess, of where you stand on the abortion issue, I think it's pretty much undeniable that this is not popular. Abortion bans and abortion restrictions, even in very red states, very not popular.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, right. And you, I mean, that is fact, right? That if you want to debate when life begins, like, we can do that, but we're not going to agree. What we can agree on is we've now had 6 direct referendums mm-hmm. in 6 different states where it was not, gerrymandering couldn't affect it, state officials couldn't affect it, the courts couldn't affect it. But when people went to the polls and said, we want reproductive rights. We want access to health care. We want access to abortion as health care. And yet, instead of listening, you can see my hand motions.
I wish you could
right
watch
now.
The live stream people right now.
They being anti-abortion GOP elected officials, their answer is not, instead of to listen and to understand that this is not what they do, or they are not on the right side of the popular vote on this, instead try to do what they tried to do in Ohio, which is move the goalpost.
Yeah, well, just go around the voters.
And my question is, how many L's do they have to take before they drop this? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party.
Thoughts, Jane Matinair, Greg Bach?
I'll let Jane speak first.
They can't. They are the literal embodiment of the dog that caught the car. They've been running on this for 40 years, 50 years. We're the party of life. And now they got their wish, and Roe has been overturned. And I think it's becoming clearer as well that the whole while the issue needs to go back to states' rights, because that's what this is about. That's all bull.
Well, and it's interesting because that was the celebration, right? Anti-abortion groups celebrated the end of Roe for returning decisions on abortion laws back to the people.
Right.
But it turns out they aren't too thrilled about the prospect of statewide elections, which again and again and again now has proven that the voters don't want this. And so when you return it to the states and not the state legislators and the lawmakers or the courts, but the actual people, Kansas, Kentucky, Montana,
right.
Ohio, and now Missouri Republicans are also pushing the same rules change as Ohio for their, because they also have direct referendum. And so instead of listening, they're like, let's just change the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they don't win elections, they change voting laws. When they don't win, going on what Jane said, this topic is ingrained in the DNA of the GOP now. They cannot let it go. They can't afford to let it go. They will suffer the consequences from the lobbyists that they have been in bed with for so many decades.
But here's my question. In a two-party system, mm-hmm. because we see this with people with very left issues, right?
Yeah.
We see it for people who still very much are on defund the police or... And I don't think universal health care or universal care for all is that far left. But some issues that I would say progressives, my very, very left friends, like, gets very angry at Democrats because they aren't pushing hard enough on the issues that they care about. But ultimately, they're not going to vote for Republicans.
Yeah.
They may not vote at all, mm-hmm. which is a problem. But in the same way, do you think evangelical anti-abortion very, very right people, they're not going to change their votes to Democrats if the GOP moves on from this issue?
Well, we saw that in 2016. They voted for Donald Trump, a man who, by definition, who once promoted himself as a pro-life person, then became pro-choice person, then said he was pro-life. And it's pretty much known that he did all those things to get those votes. So they'll vote with whomever says it out loud. So if you have someone who, you know, if you have a candidate who just says, yeah, I'm pro-life, I love the fetus, it's conception, they're gonna be like, that's all it needs for me, that's all it needs to work for me, and I got somebody.
But I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying, where do they go if people who are running drop it entirely? They're not going to vote for Democrats.
No, but they'll probably still vote for the Republicans. Because,
yeah, and yeah. So I think what is the... As it seems like, and I don't know if it's just because so many of these Republicans are such ideologues that they're true believers. Like, this mm-hmm. isn't about, for some, Donald Trump, totally.
Yeah.
But for some, it's not, it's actually not about winning votes. It's where they actually believe in, like, morality and protecting life and all of the things that they tout. And so that, like, because they are so extreme in that, they believe that they shouldn't have to listen to what the popular vote is saying because they are right. So unless, like, but shy of that, because there are people who are finally starting to realize, like, we will continue to lose elections on this because we're over a year out. And what wins, besides legal wins, what wins have they gotten on this whenever it's been up to a vote?
None.
Right?
Right. But yet again, they're going to stick their fingers in their ears and do what they want. And with the gerrymander still in place in so many places, we've seen it with our own legislature. Our own Republican legislature doesn't respond to what the vast majority of Wisconsin residents want because they don't have to.
Nope, they do not have to.
And they know better. And it's also Robin Voss's money. 844-967-2789. You can always check in, call, and or text from the 262. Some Republicans will never let go of the abortion issue, regardless of how many losses this gives to them politically. Some of them are so convinced about the issue, it is impossible for them to move on.
But here's the question I have. First of all, it's not Robin Voss. It's the Popcorn King. Show the man respect, all right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good Lord, woman.
Speaker
Popcorn King.
Oh, shout out to Bill from Oconomowoc.
Yes. we love you, Bill.
Here's the thing is, and this can be said about any topic that a politician has to deal with, but when you talk about things like
abortion, access, guns. I want to know, specifically with abortion, how many of these old dudes really care that much about abortion? Because we see it happen, like the congressman who knocks up his mistress and then pays for an abortion. Like, they don't really care that much. They only care in as much because it's going to get them votes, and it's going to get, and it's easy to do too. I mean, like with guns, it's easy to say, yes, everyone should have guns. All right, I don't have to talk about that anymore. I don't have to talk about nuance. I don't have to talk about the details within. I can just say this one thing and then I can move on to other things. I don't think these politicians care that much about abortion rights.
I think it's probably a mixed bag.
I mean, yes, of course. I'm sure there are some crazy people out there who are like, they got no office because they somehow failed upwards. But the popular ones, the people who are like really running the party, I don't think
Mitch McConnell cares.
I don't.
I actually don't know if Robin Voss actually cares, but I think Andre Jacques does.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are, when you look at the gamut, like, I think there are some very uber religious people who very much do believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there are some who are politicians who are, this is our party line.
Yeah.
844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Tom from LA. Good morning, Tom. What do you think?
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, the Republicans in power are the Antichrist party. So I want to throw that out there.
Getting spicy quick, Tom.
I wanted to say, absolutely, they are. They don't do anything Christ said. So I'm really tired of them actually stealing that word and making it into something that it is not. And then the other thing is on this woman's right to choose issue, I'd really appreciate it if we on the, I call it the FDR Democrats, if we could actually start calling this a woman's right to choose or the government's right to choose, because nobody is pro-abortion. I don't know anybody that's pro-abortion or abortion rights. It's about women, and it's about women making a choice versus the government making the choice. And I don't want government involved in a woman's right to choose. It's between her and her partner and their doctor. And the thing is, there's a lot of women, 80%, 90%, but you're an example, Kristen, you're actually going to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
So that was your choice. But the thing is, it wasn't like, oh my God, it's the media does it all over the place. They either call them pro-life or they call them, what's the opposite of pro-life? It's pro-death. They're the pro-death party. If you're going to be pro-life, you have to be pro-life in all circumstances. So the thing is, I really want us to get this wording correct, because it is about a woman's right to choose or the government's right to choose. Now, if you're a person that wants government and a bunch of men in government choosing for a woman what to do with her body, whether that's to actually have a child or not, terminate a pregnancy or not, that's up to the woman. But it's not a pro-abortion stance or a
anti-abortion stance. Yes, that's words matter, and that is a good, very good point, Tom. Thank you as always for the call. If you have thoughts on this topic, give us a call, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We will keep this topic going of Ohio and their vote last night and what it means for November and 2024. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Maybe I'd better go.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
As goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. And that was, is that the Black Keys?
Yes, it
the
was. Black,
they have a song about Ohio?
They're from Ohio.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that. That makes more sense.
Yeah, it makes all the sense now. But you don't have to be from a state to
celebrate
sing about it.
Yeah. Plus, I just love the Black Keys.
I also love the Black Keys.
They're just so cool. I would walk out of a room if they walked into the room. You're like, I'm not cool enough for this.
I can't be.
It's how I felt about being in Toronto. I'm too ugly for Toronto. Just too ugly for Toronto. The place is beautiful. So people, all right, we're talking about something else. Sorry.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We're talking about the big vote taken in Ohio yesterday from the 608. Pro-life people aren't as scary as the abolitionists. They openly want to criminalize women. That is what this is all about. John from the Falls says, for the most part, Republican politicians don't really care all that much about abortion rights or gun rights. These are just convenient issues for them to use to get more votes so, mm-hmm. so they can stay in power and accomplish their real goals, staying in power and making more money on the backs of hardworking Americans, many of whom are either too lazy or not smart enough to think for themselves and actually pay attention to the issues.
Dang, spicy.
Dang, spicy.
You know, Tom brought up a really interesting point with his call in the last segment, which was the branding, the wording of these things, and the Republicans are always good at it. Like, they don't say, they don't call people like us pro-choice. They're like, you're pro-abortion. That hits. You're like, oh, that hurt. I mean, you're like, yeah, I'm totally pro-abortion if you need to get it or if you want to get it. But it also just sounds in context of a press conference. Like, they're really good at the messaging of what they stand for versus us, where we liberals tried to make as many words as possible to explain what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Like I just did here.
Yeah. Well, if you're new to the conversation, we are talking about yesterday, Ohio's vote to keep the door open to codify abortion protections. They turned out, and you know, what was surprising is no one knew what the turnout was going to be, which is also, yeah. I think, something to celebrate. In the same way, when we had such great turnout in Wisconsin for the Supreme Court race in April, which is, you know, notoriously low turnout when we talk about what the margins people have won by in the past for Supreme Court seats and nonpartisan races in the spring. So, like, another takeaway I have from this is just the fact that they did this on purpose. They did an August vote thinking that it would be low turnout.
Absolutely.
And there wasn't. And it also, I mean, it was 57-58%.
It was 57%.
57% yeah. of, and in Ohio, that is a big margin. I think it was 15 points that they passed yesterday on issue one, which was a ballot initiative that asked voters if they wanted to raise the threshold for amending the state constitution from a simple majority, so 50% plus one, to 60%. And it wasn't explicitly about abortion rights, but this was only, they only introduced doing this after the fact that there is going to be a ballot measure in November that Ohioans are scheduled to vote on an amendment that could protect abortion, where as of right now in Ohio, as far as keeping track of what is legal where when it comes to abortion rights, they have their law right now there has a 6-week abortion ban. It is also currently going through the court cases and so are going through the court. And so because there was one judge who overturned that, so there is messiness happening with what the law currently says. But if this passes in November, it doesn't matter. It overrides what the court case is. And yeah. So, but what's interesting about this is that with 57%, and granted, this vote yesterday was about democracy. It was about direct democracy and being able to continue to vote on these things and have the threshold only be 50%. But it's also an indicator that potentially, I mean, if this ends up going in November, now that this is going to happen in November, if not only they pass this, but then if they pass the change to the Constitution to protect abortion rights in November mm-hmm. with 60%+ anyways, like, what does that say?
Well, I mean, it's just the point is like these Republicans are feeling Charlie Brown. They're like, we're going to kick this football. Like, no, we're going to take it away every time. And I wonder if there are any GOP members, any pollsters are like, you guys are losing this hand over fist in every state who does this. Just like, don't.
Yeah.
But of course, they're not going to. We've been talking about this for so long. So yeah.
Well, and we'll talk about this. Let's take a call right now, but then it looks like we have some more calls coming in. And I also want to talk about other states that are thinking about doing this. So maybe they will change their mind.
844-967-2789. Karina, thanks for joining us. We only got about 2 minutes, Karina.
Okay, I will be really quick, and I think that nobody should tell anybody what to do with their own life and their own body, and especially government, especially doctors. If I'm coming to a doctor and ask to remove a tooth, will they say, no, this is illegal? No, this is my body, and I'm going to decide what to do with my body and my life. And those old men who's sitting there, they have no idea how my body works. They introducing a camera I can swallow so they can figure it out whether I'm pregnant or not. Not even knowing that my stomach doesn't connect to my uterus. So please, for crying out loud, leave it alone to a female.
Who was that again? Was that someone in Ohio?
I will look that up. But Karina, you're absolutely right about that. That he thought, yeah, you could swallow something.
You could swallow a camera.
Because it's going to show whether or not you're pregnant, even though your uterus is not connected to your stomach.
Sometimes as a man, I feel so dumb by proxy. So dumb by proxy.
Thanks, Karina, for
being here. Thanks for the call, Karina. I forgot who, let's look at the break, who that was, but I remember when it was like, excuse me, what?
Let me guess, he was in his 60s or 70s.
All right, when we come back, we will take your calls, we will read your texts, and also we will run through the other states that are considering changing the goalposts, but maybe this will change their mind. Maybe not.
It won't.
Maybe not, but love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. People are returning to their homes in Maui as search and rescue efforts continue in the wake of those deadly wildfires in Hawaii. Nearly 1,000 people are still missing. This resident says it's been tough.
It's going to be sad to get down there, you know, and then it's a very hard moment. But we have to go there and see who's needed help or stop or home and come back up here.
Some tourists fled into the ocean to escape the fast-moving flames. This man says it was terrifying.
We found a floating board that we hung on to. Everything was burning around. His car's blowing up.
New developments now in the investigation into Hunter Biden as prosecutor David Weiss has been appointed as special counsel in the case. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
Friday, in a federal court filing, Weiss said the plea negotiations with Hunter Biden were at an impasse, and the government now believes that the case will not resolve short of a trial.
CBS News Brief.
I'm Allison Keys.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in. Turn on and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
Well, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It was only our third date, so timing was not great, but he brought me a cute dog card. It said, life's less rough with you. We shared a bottle of Sancerre and some lively conversation before he walked me home.
And then we had sex and everybody knows it. We'll say you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matinera is on the board. Greg Bach is here. And our guest in studio is comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And you laughed as soon as that song. Jane, what did you find that was a deep cut for Taylor?
Yes, I did. You got to hunt around a little bit, but I found it.
So what is it, Taylor?
That is an EP that I recorded with my friend Dylan Marcarell, who is an incredible composer. Over COVID, it sustained me. We wrote this comedic love songs EP, but the woman singing that part, because it's a trio that ends up doing it, is Kim Ona, who is a woman I went to college with, who, it's a very long story, but all this to say, she made her Broadway debut in a musical called Anne Juliet with 2 hours notice as Juliet. And it's like one of the most incredible stories ever. And it's so nice. It's like, that's my friend Kim who sang on my EP, which is bananas. Like, we're like, will you do this? We're doing a three. And I'm glad you played her instead of me, because she is like literally a Broadway singer and I love to sing. And you can tell in my voice that I love to sing. But
the passion
that's so
is there. The talent. Yeah. Is
so that's Kim. She was on Broadway yesterday. She went on as Lady Capulet in the matinee of Anne Juliet on Broadway. So
that is so funny. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I heard of you because of your new book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversations, or to Midwestern Conversation. But then as I found out more about you, you kind of have my, well, not currently, but in normal times, not outside of the strike, you write for Last Week Tonight. You are a comedian. You are a writer. You have written for basically all of the different comedic McSweeney's and all of the things. And you also have this book out, but you're also from the Midwest. So you're not from Wisconsin, though. You are from Missouri.
I am from Missouri. I'm from Kansas City. I have my Kansas City heart shirt on. I know that we're on the radio, but I have a Kansas City heart shirt on. But I'm acquiring a Wisconsin or Milwaukee shirt tonight before my book event.
We have a lot of those.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we have a lot of really good merch for the state. Yeah. So let's just start with how the journey from the Midwest to being a writer on one of the most popular political satire shows out there.
It's, you know, the thing that I think is the most frustrating but also sometimes validating is literally everybody's story and journey to wherever they go in the world of television and film is so, so different. Mine is I grew up in Kansas City, same house, 18 years, moved to the East Coast for college, came back to Kansas City to do some like fringe festival sketch comedy stuff, and then moved to New York to do the thing. But in order to do the thing, I needed to have money to pay rent, to eat food
while I did the thing. Right? Yeah.
And so I worked in advertising
for
a very long time, and I was doing tutoring and copywriting and all of that. And at the same time, taking improv classes and doing stand-up.
What was your go-to? Pitt? UCB?
UCB.
All right.
I was a UCB baby. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I'm officiating my friend's wedding this on Friday. I met her 3 days into moving to New York, and we became best friends. And she would have been the most important person I met at UCB, except for the other one I am married to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's close.
There's different categories. It's fine.
It's true. And you know what? I mean, everything with UCB. Like,
Are they still defunct? Did they survive? No, they reformed.
COVID? I don't know a lot about what's going on with them now. Okay. I think they're hiring teachers now and getting the theater back up and
reforming some of the issues that
came to light. Reforming situations. Maybe distributing the PPP loan that appears to maybe have only gone to like the finance guy. I have no idea what happened.
But,
so I was
Taylor's
UCB
spilling
baby.
The tea right now.
This is a little inside, but I should let you know, because we didn't talk about I lived in New York. I was more of a Pitt person.
Okay.
And so that whole community, like, and I know when everything was blowing up with UCB and stuff like that. So that's why most of our Wisconsin listeners are probably like, what language are they speaking right now?
It's United Citizens Brigade.
Yes.
Right?
And Upright Citizens Brigade. This was started by Amy Poehler. And so like, it was at least what the second city is to Chicago and Groundlings is to L.A., UCB was to New York. Do you think that's a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair way to put it. It's the training ground. It's the building community. It's the, you know, when I was quote unquote coming up, there's like, that was where you got your comedic footing, where you got stage time. In fact, the Pit was better at giving stage time than UCB. Yeah. The Pit, you could just, I mean, we did so much shows. It was like you go and you do shows. And that's, I think, the wonderful thing about New York is there's opportunities to go and like do shows and put stuff up. I was a UCB baby, and then through friends at UCB, through like work in the online satire community, you build your community and you get what are called packets, which is basically the, you know, the late night way of saying we're hiring, here's what you have to do to get hired. And after, you know, 22, 23 of those, I did a Last Week Tonight one, and it made the cut.
And
fantastic.
I feel like part of everything I've done, like Last Week Tonight, Daily Show, like that is what has inspired me to do what I do here, right? I don't have a writing team, so I don't know if it says. But Last Week Tonight specifically, writing jokes, because that show goes so deep on research.
Yeah.
And then it is punctuated with like dick jokes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it really is the tone and the balance that it strikes. So were you always into politics and political comedy writing, or was it something that like, how did that part come to it?
That's such an interesting question. I was always into, I think I had always considered myself a writer that was funny more than a joke writer.
Interesting.
And part of this is also probably context. My husband is, Felipe Toro Medina is like one of the best joke writers I know.
Okay.
And it's just so
and he
clean.
Writes for?
He writes for Colbert.
Yeah.
Which is a, you know, tight joke show.
Yes.
Set a punchline, set
yeah.
a punchline.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And having the research base that we have at Last Week Tonight, I think that to me, that's a better fit because I'm, I don't know, like I'm kind of annoying in that I, you know, you see it, like you see a headline and I'm like, well, that's kind of, that's a little bit misleading. Like, I feel like I want to go a little bit deeper.
About it.
And so with Last Week Tonight, we get to be a little bit, it's like slightly more excruciating and a little bit more, well, actually about what we're actually making jokes about. And because we use a little bit more footage, we can point out things that are like, well, let's tell you what you just saw politically. But also, did you see that thing behind that guy? That's wild. What's that doing there?
And so, you feel like it was like a perfect fit. Like the way that show is structured is very different than other political comedy shows. And for your type of writing, it's why it's such a good fit.
When I was 23 in a class at UCB, we had to we wrote our final project for a late night writing class was to write a script in a style that we thought we could write. And I was like, the only one for me is
interesting.
John Oliver. And I did a lot of other packets. You can tell. It's like I did a lot of other packets that were fine, but not up to par. And like this was the fit for my voice.
I used to do a show here in the city, a live late night show called the Badger Times Journal Report, which was, and I told people outright, I said, I am taking from John Stewart and I'm taking from John Oliver, and it would be correspondence, deep dives on topics, real guests, like political, like we had David Crowley on before he was the county executive.
Wow.
So like those two shows, and for me now, John Oliver has such a deep sense of being for me, that writing, that message. And the fact is, when you watch him, he barely breaks. He just keeps going.
Oh my gosh.
He pushes through where a lot of the comedians can, you know, there's a laughter and they'll say something about the laughter. He's like, nope, we're just going to keep going.
Right.
I got 30 minutes. And
we
don't
have time.
Yeah.
We're talking to comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips, and we will talk about your book, I promise, because that's why you're here, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. But how many times does he practice before he does a live show? Because it truly is a 30-minute, I barely breathe monologue.
He's got it, you know? And it, I mean, it varies, and a lot of it that we don't see.
Yeah.
A lot of it we just go to taping. And I'm not totally sure, but he's a pro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is, like, that is what he does. And it's amazing that, you know, he goes through and we write the show together and he's so involved. And then he goes out and does it.
And then
Which is something cool in the late night space is like, you know, he works so hard.
That's one of the only shows that is just him instead of there's guests, there's correspondence, there is something that breaks up the half hour.
Yeah.
Versus where that show is just you're on.
No.
And there's a live audience and we're going.
And it sometimes it feels like we didn't get enough time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, oh, there's.
And then you have to do the Chuck E. Cheese special. So did you write on the Chuck E. Cheese special?
So we can't say for legal reasons what we work on or whatever.
Okay.
But I can say that that I really enjoyed watching that and felt a lot of affection for it and was very impressed by the work done in a way that as a Midwesterner, maybe I wouldn't.
I could not shut up about that piece. Yeah.
We talked about it on the show because like, this is amazing. So what we should say, though, is right now, you are not currently working.
I am not.
You are still, once the strike is over, that will be your job. But right now, you're not. So how is the strike going, Taylor?
It blows.
Yeah.
But it is also kind of awesome.
Okay.
Because no one... It's in context, right? On this side of the threshold, which is we have to be on strike, there's no option, right? There is no alternative to this. We made our requests to the studios. They are eminently reasonable. And not only have they, like, there are some that they declined. There are some that they, you know, came back and negotiated. And there are a lot that they just refused to negotiate with us about. So there's just no debate about whether or not this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But the idea of agreement among thousands and thousands of writers, a 98% vote in favor of the strike, the idea that SAG now has said, you know, even a higher percentage of their membership, which is much bigger than ours, also said this situation is untenable. it's the most unified group I've literally ever been a part of. And so to be on picket lines with those people, you know, discussing what is going on in our industry, like on social media and whatever with those people, it feels really good because it feels like we're going to win. Like, I don't have any real doubt.
Oh, that's interesting.
About where this is going, because I really feel like the studios still don't understand who they're messing with. And the army that they have created.
They literally can't do it without you guys.
Could you tell them that? They don't seem to totally get that.
I can't remember. I think it was the chief executive officer of ABC when he came out and said, well, we have a strike-proof season. I said, you just showed how much you don't care by saying, meh, we'll go ahead and just put on reality shows and whatnot. Nothing against reality shows. But like when he said that, I'm like, oh, well, you obviously think this is nothing to you. This is nothing to you.
Right. And it's, you know, way up at the top, it feels like those people don't care about making TV. But there are a lot of executives, a lot of suits who genuinely
who got into this who business got into for a reason
to make TV and to make movies and to you know, as much as you're like, well, you know, to tell stories, and it makes people a lot of money. People love to go see it. You know, not to be a broken record, but like, did we all see how many people showed up at the movies?
Well, I think about that. I think about The Last of Us. I think about these like cultural moments of that. Even without the same kind of consolidation of everyone watching the same thing, because there's so many different streaming services, there's so many different ways to absorb content, but there's still things that we all get on board with and want to talk about together. Yeah. And it's, a lot of that is really good writing and really good acting.
Yeah.
And it's just, and that's what it is. That's their product. That is the only thing a lot of these people make.
Mm-hmm.
And we make it. And so
we only have a minute left for this segment.
Okay.
And I want to talk about your book.
Tell me.
So when we come back, we'll talk about the other thing that you're doing right now, since you're not writing for the show, and what inspired it, where people can get it, and like all of those Midwestern roots that you tapped into for the book. So our guest is comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be back in just a minute.
And bathrobes too. We ate oysters in our bed.
Oysters
topped it off with some dark chocolate.
Chocolate.
What a lovely night alone.
During which we had sex, and everybody knows that it would actually be weirder if it didn't go that way. The night ended in intercourse, a special hotel kind. The whole point of this day night was for us
to bone. After 4 years of marriage and 6 years together, we decided just to spend a nice night at home.
But we didn't have sex because we ate too many nachos. It was in our plans initially, but then we got full. We didn't feel the pressure since we still have sex like all the time. We ate our chips and cheese and then we fell asleep.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get into Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair on the board. Greg Bach is here. And we are talking to comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And let's talk about your book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. What is it?
Well, it is a love letter in 140, I don't actually remember the page number, illustrated pages. It started as a McSweeney's piece.
Okay.
And it is just the, at the beginning, like at its nascence, it is things that we say in the Midwest and like what we mean when we say them. It's
like,
not,
no, yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, no. Or like,
let me just get around you real quick. It's,
yeah. Exactly.
Let's switch, oh, right,
yeah,
switch
exactly.
Right by.
And like,
do you guys say Ope in Missouri?
There is, it's like, we don't realize that we do it.
Yeah.
It's, and so many people over the course of like the book or talking to have come up and being like, I didn't realize that I did it.
Or realize that this is a regional thing that I do.
Exactly.
That other people don't do this.
That's, and you probably had this, had a similar experience where it's like, you don't realize that until you move away,
mm-hmm.
and people start pointing out things about you that you're, the kind of reaction is like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, everybody does
you
that.
You say the word bag and bagel.
Yes, bagel.
But it's also funny how quickly it comes back when you move back.
Immediately. Even just like a slight twang. And for me, it's not even Kansas City. It's that my dad's from the south of Missouri. So like, even just talking to him, it'll just go a little bit, like just a little bit,
okay.
Like not much, but like,
yeah,
it'll get up there.
I went to New York once with a bunch of people and we were talking, and my friend's friend who I didn't know, he goes, I can tell you're from the Midwest. I said, why? He goes, you look people in the eyes and you smile a lot. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment.
It's wild. I went to a Starbucks on Park Avenue and I said, good morning, how's it going? And the man looked terrified. He was frightened. He was like, is this a new type of stick up? Like,
and was that a culture shock when you left Missouri to go to school out east? Was that like a huge difference culturally?
It wasn't. The culture shock was more people expecting me to have a culture shock.
Okay.
It was like we would all, you know, be lined up in the freshman room talking about where we were from. And it would be, I'm from Boston. I'm from New York. I'm from Connecticut. I'm from Florida. I'm from California. I'm from Vietnam. And I'd say, I'm from Missouri. And people would go, oh, that's so far.
Or where is that?
Like, just mentally.
Did they let you in on a special deal or something?
Just like, what is that? And one time, like, the dean of freshmen was like, hello, welcome. And I was like, hi. He was like, where are you from? Where are you joining us from? I was like, oh, I'm from Missouri. The man talked slower. He said,
no.
How are you liking it here? And I was like, well, there aren't near as many cows. Like, what the heck do you think I'm about to do? That was the culture shock.
It really is true. In 2023, in a world of massive ability to get information, people from the coasts still think we are barefoot cow farmers. Like, literally, people I've met who are like, I didn't realize that places in Wisconsin all had running water or, like, indoor toilets. I wish that was a joke. It's true.
It is true.
It's amazing. And they're not embarrassed by it.
Well, yeah. Especially because Kansas City is I think Kansas City is bigger than Milwaukee. How many people live
there? It is. We Googled that on the way here.
So it's like, because it's a big city.
It's a big city. We got the World Cup. We had the draft. We've got Mahomes.
You got your own song in Oklahoma.
We got our own song and I'm seven stories high.
You got a baseball team that I don't want to talk about.
There.
Nobody needs to talk about
it. So what was the motivation? Like, was it just because you're like, once the McSweeney's article did well, where you're like, I think this could be a book?
I wish that I could say that, but really it was a bunch of other people saying, this did really well. You should make it a book. And me saying, I don't know, for like 3.5 years.
Procrastination.
And when I say people, I mean
it's my very Midwestern.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I don't think so. Oh, I think that's a little too much. You know, that's, dear.
Midwesterners, we don't, and I say this with loving heart, born and raised in Wisconsin, we do not think on those levels of like, there's abject failure and complete success. We love to hover in the middle and like, this is good. This is good.
Right.
Let's not push it. Let's just stay kind and humble. We got what we got. We can pay our bills.
And don't let it go to your head.
Don't let it go to your head.
Don't talk about your success.
Do not forget your raisin. All right.
Exactly. Well, that's in one of the initial piece. One of the Midwestern things is like, look at you big city girl.
Yeah.
Which means you think you're better than me.
Oh, we're like, so good at that.
Well, look at you in the big city. How is it up there? Is it safe? You know. Now I'm stuck between.
Which is also funny because then there's layers to that. Because I'm sure from being, I would imagine, because this is the same dynamic, a similar dynamic in Wisconsin is there's Madison and there's Milwaukee and then there's the rest of Wisconsin. And there's feelings about that. I would imagine it's similar in Missouri as far as there is more rural Missouri and then there's Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, I'm from the big city.
And so you're already from the big city and now you really live in the big city. And so like the layers removed of even the people who are in the big city of Kansas City are thinking like, oh, she's in New York.
She's in
now.
New York.
And she works in television. Right.
Like just, they charge you extra for French fries on the side of your burger there, which is true. And it's redonkulous. But it's now I am caught between. It's like in New York, I'm like this kind of sweet, nice, nobody's met anyone nicer kind of pushover. And in the Midwest, everyone's like, is she for real? This is a cutthroat witch.
Really?
Like not always, but they're kind of like, oh, wow, you're like really...
You're direct. You
know, you're direct.
You're very direct now.
Oh, wow.
And how much do you feel like since leaving... in your heart of hearts, where do you feel like the balance is of like you can't... Like you can take the girl out of the Midwest versus you can't take the Midwest out of the girl?
I think I said to someone this morning, it's like, I'm a Kansas City girl with a New York address, which feels mostly true. But I think that there is, but I operate at a New York pace.
Okay.
I think I have like the Midwestern sort of understanding, a kind of lack of judgment, which is something I think that is very Midwestern, is like, I think that there's a feeling of what are the rules here? You know, and I will mostly adhere to them. Do we take off our shoes in this house?
Yeah.
You know, what, like, are we getting appetizers, dinner, dessert, or are we just eating, you know what I mean? Like, the kind of how your family does it, how my family does it, I'm curious about it, which I think that curiosity is not as pronounced on the coasts, and I think I try to still have that.
That's a really interesting observation that I would... agree with.
Right? Like, it's something you don't think about until you go places and be like, oh, I feel really strongly about, like, the way my family does things. And it's like, what a weird thing to say. I would never think...
Assume that we got it right.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, do we, you know, like, my dad doesn't drink. He hasn't drank for 36 years. And, like, we go to somebody's house and he brings his diet soda with him the first time. And then... he'll always bring it with him just in case. But as soon as anybody's ever had my dad's like, oh, yeah, and we got Diet Pepsi in the thing. Because nice. Carrie's come, you know?
All right. Well, that went by so quickly. We have so much overlap in common. I'm excited to talk to you after the show.
Yes.
But Taylor K. Phillips, you can buy A Midwestern Conversation anywhere you can buy books. I will link it to today's show notes. I'll also link her social media if you want to follow her on X or
on X
the things.
Or Instagram, I think.
But it was so fun to have you in person.
It was so, so fun to see you guys. I'm so grateful.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who called into the show, texted into the show. We will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org.
brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.